Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
The opportunity to stand before you. I love this congregation. I love every opportunity I get to do this. Appreciate Andrew letting me give him a little break tonight and be able to share a few things with you this evening. My iPad's not working, so we'll just wing it. Wendell and I had a discussion before I got up here about that, but I came prepared just in case. I'd like to say a few things tonight about the church and about the future of the church, but I'd like to start off by saying a few things about our mission work and try to tie these two things together this evening. You see, we live in a culture today in which it often seems like only negative things are newsworthy. I guess it doesn't really matter where you get your news from, whether it's the internet or the newspaper or the television. It often just seems like the positive things just don't get the spotlight anymore. In pop culture today, it says that all publicity is good publicity. And what they really mean is that negative publicity is good publicity, because when the negative stuff comes out, that's when ticket sales go up, album sales go up, book sales go up. I remember reading about an author a few years ago. He had written a book that was not very well received. It was only selling about 20 copies per week until the reviews came out. And the reviews were all negative. One review said this book makes a great gift for somebody you dislike. One said that this book makes a great substitute for toilet paper. Another one said this book's the literary equivalent of nails on the chalkboard. You know, all the reviews were horrible. And the result was that his book sales went up to 300 books per week after all of that came out. Because that's the type of culture we live in. Folks thrive and relish the negative things. Unfortunately, sometimes it even seems like in the church we focus so much on the negative things and bypass all the good things that are going on. Sometimes it seems like there's always, I think all of us probably go through some cycles where sometimes we're a little more excited and happy about what's going on than other times, but sometimes it just seems like there's some individuals who are just always focusing on the negative things, always criticizing, always gossiping or questioning decisions that are made by our leadership. So I wanted to take the opportunity tonight just for a few moments to think about some of the good things that are going on in the church, because I believe that the future of the church looks bright. I believe that the future of the Lord's church here at Graymere is bright. And I think you could probably take any program or any ministry that's going on here and really put it under the microscope and see that we're headed in the right direction. And you could probably look at each one of those ministries and see that the future is bright. But I want to take the opportunity tonight to do that with the mission work and show you a few reasons why I believe that the future is bright. For the last couple of years, we've been in an intense time of study and transition even in our mission works. We've really been studying and learning and trying to find the most effective way or how to be more effective in the mission works that we're doing. We're not quite ready to roll out everything that we've learned and that we're going to be trying to do, but I thought I'd share a few of those things this evening, just a few points that I put on the screen there. One thing we're trying to do in our missions program is that we want to own our mission works. That's a phrase that we've started using a lot in the missions committee. We want to own our mission works. And I don't mean in any way that we want to perform some paternalistic form of missions where we're daddy and our mission works are the child, or any type of dominating atmosphere with our mission works. But what we mean by that, when we want to own our mission works, is we don't want to be a church that simply puts a check in the mail. There's so many of those already. We don't need to be one more. We want to be a church that's actively involved in our works. We want to take active oversight of our works and know what's going on with them. So we want to own our mission works. Another thing that closely associated with that we're trying to do is to have less works, less mission works, but more involvement with them. You know, it would be nice, I guess, some folks do this to just support give a little bit of support to a whole lot of different places and say we support 100 missionaries around the world or 200 missionaries. That would be great. But most of the folks that are doing that are not really making a whole lot of impact in any of those places and don't really know what's going on, because when you get so involved in so many different works, it's just too much to really know what's going on with them. So we'd like to have less works and more involvement. We'd like to really see the Graymere congregation get more involved with Graymere missions. A lot of times mission works is everybody kind of has their hobby mission work, their own little pet project that they love, but we'd like to see Graymere members embrace the works that we have and become more involved with them. We'd like to look for, as we're looking for less works, we want to look for missionaries that have goals and strategy. You know, we get letters in the mail all the time, every day pretty much, of, well, I'm going to Asia, or I'm going to Africa, or I'm going to South America, I'd like for you to give me a little bit of support. But so often in these letters, there's nothing mentioned about exactly what they're going to be doing in these places. We want to find the missionaries, the best missionaries, the ones that come and say, hey, I'm going for this number of years, this is what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to hope to accomplish this goal by year one, this one by year two, and here's the strategy that I'm going to employ, we're going to be doing this and this and that, trying to reach those goals. Those are the types of situations we want to get involved in, the ones that are prepared for success. But finally, we're trying to define our focus. Missions is such a broad term now. Missions is big business. Everybody's doing missions. You can pretty much look at any church, any organization. Everybody's doing some kind of something that they're calling missions. You can go and do so many different things and call it missions. You can go and give medical care, and it's missions. You can go and do benevolence, it's missions. You can go and play with children, you can go and build something, and all of it counts as missions. So we started thinking about how so often churches get involved in all of these different areas, and the end result is that they're not really making a whole lot of difference in any of them. So we started thinking about, we need to define our focus, pick one main area to focus upon, and let's really thrive and excel in that area. So as we studied our Bibles, we decided that our focus here ought to be to focus on planting churches. Because Graymere congregation, we like to do all those other things as well. We like to go and build. We like to help children. We like to go and do medical teams. But if we're focusing on the planted church, then we can do all of those things as an outreach of the churches that we're trying to grow. We get that idea from 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul told Timothy, the things which you've heard from me, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we want to go and plant a church, but we don't want to be there for 20 years. We don't want to be there 30 years from now. We want to go and plant a church and focus upon it. Help it to grow to maturity so that it can go out and plant another church that can plant another church. I want to show you a few examples of how this is all coming together in our missions program here at Graymere. The work in Phoenix, Arizona is one that I'm really excited about. This work, we've known Josh Austin for a long time and helped him with a lot of different things, but Josh and Divine Austin are there, and Patrick and Shannon Rademacher, and they're working to plant a church in Phoenix, Arizona that, of course, the church is for everybody, but they're focusing upon the Native Americans that are in that area. And I'm really excited about what's going on there, because when we talk about missionaries with goals and with strategies, when we think about having good communication and involvement with our missionaries, especially Josh Austin, he really meets all of these qualifications. I talk to him every week because he's always wanting to know, well, what's Graymere think about this? What would you recommend on this? And so we've constantly got great information about what's going on, but he also wants our input on what would be best for the work there. They just started in July, but here we are at the end of the year, just about 6 months later, and he's already saying, hey, we've already got between 30 and 40 people coming to attend worship on Sunday mornings. And he's saying, you know, now we've got to start looking for somewhere to rent because we can't fit them all in our house anymore. That's pretty awesome. This is what we're trying to do with our missions program. Look for the folks who are prepared for success. We'll be going there. 8 of us will be going there later this month to give some encouragement and to observe the work. And again, more involvement, knowing exactly what's going on with our mission works. And especially for our youth, it's great to see our youth sitting up here in the front this evening. I really want to encourage you guys. The goal is that next year we're going to take our youth campaign out there. So I really want to encourage each one of you to make plans to be a part of that. We don't have the date set just yet, but I would think that that'll be a great trip, and I hope that each one of you will be a part of it. Chennai, India is another location that we've actually been working there for many years with the National Bible College and with Peter Solomon. Really appreciate John Vaughn and his enthusiasm for the work in India. I haven't been able to go there this year and only made one trip last year, but I really appreciate that Brother Vaughn's been here to be able to step in and continue making those trips. He's gone twice this year. He'll be going again in February. But when we think about India, it's so far away and it's so expensive just to get there that makes it a difficult place for us. And not only just real distance, but culturally it's very distant from us as well. There's lots of communication difficulties in knowing exactly what's going on there. So you have to be there in order to see what's going on. But we find because of all of those types of difficulties that the National Bible College really seems to be, for us, the best way to reach the lost in India, because you can train other men to go out and plant the churches that can plant churches that can plant churches. And great things are coming from India as well. Peter Solomon, who's the director of that school, sent his report just a couple of weeks ago and said throughout this year he's involved in radio programs and television programs and all the different types of meetings, and he said they'd had 350 baptisms just from the works that he had been associated with this year. So great things are coming from that location so far away. Lima, Peru is certainly one that if I have to pick one place in the world where I want to do mission work, it's Lima, Peru. I love the people of Peru. The people you see on the screen, Juan and Nayama Abanto, are two of my favorite people. I've known them for about 10 years or so. I'm not too much older than them, but in a way we've each gotten to see one another grow and mature. And I know them so well, that's what makes the relationship that Graymere has in overseeing their work so exciting for me. Of all the people, the missionaries I know, Juan is the most humble worker that I've ever met. Just an amazing worker, very well organized, communicates well. We've got him set up on a 5-year plan in Lima, Peru, where he's actually kind of like myself. He's working as a minister in the congregation where he grew up. But the goal is not for him to stay there. Again, we don't want to stay in the same place forever. He's on a 5-year plan. He's in year 2 of that plan. And ultimately, we'd love to see elders established in that church. Not certain if 5 years is a realistic time to achieve that goal, but he's got lots of other things he's doing. He's organizing their education program and evangelism program, and they're all sorts of different things. So another goal that he wants to do is at least continue organizing things to the point that when those 5 years are up, he'll be able to go with us and identify a new location where there is no church so that we can again work together to plan a new church. And as of last month, he's identified that, even though he's only in year 2, he's already identified that location where we can go and plant another church in Peru. Galway, Ireland, where we support Ryan and Kelly O'Rourke. A lot of you had the opportunity to hear them I don't know if it was last week or the week before. They were here and Ryan presented his work in the fellowship hall class on Wednesday evening. It was so amazing. Of all the missionaries that have come into Graymere and presented their works, of all the different mission reports that have been given from the pulpit, I've never heard more positive comments than what I heard from you guys about their visit here just a couple of weeks ago. I think it really opened up our eyes to realize how difficult the work is. So often we come back giving the missions reports, and we talk about all these folks who are baptized and all these great things that happened, but the truth is that it's not really like that on a day-to-day basis. Maybe when a big, huge group goes for a campaign, it might be like that, but on the day-to-day basis, it's difficult. So it was awesome to see how open he was in talking about the difficulties that they've had in Ireland, the learning curve, how many things they've had to learn, and I'm just really excited that we're going to have the opportunity to continue working with them as they learn and trying to figure out what works in that place. Basura, Panama, where we support Ruben and Flor Gallego. Ruben's been associated with Graymere for a number of years. A lot of folks that go to Panama love him. A lot of folks here have financially supported him and his work for several years. But just in the last couple of years, Ruben's come under the oversight of Graymere. And again, as we're rethinking the way we do missions here, we've really given a lot of consideration about what's the best way to help Ruben and the church where he's working. You see, the difficulty in Basura is it's so far out in the middle of nowhere. It's a very primitive, it's a a group of native folks that are indigenous people that live there. It most likely there's not a time in sight that we can see in which that church is going to become financially self-sufficient, at least to the point of being able to support a preacher and all the other different works that they want to do. So we've really given a lot of thought about, well, what's the best way to help them? Because that's the goal. The goal is to have self-sufficient churches. So what we've done with Reuben, we've put him on a 3-year plan in which the goal is that at the end of those 3 years, we're going to help him to get to the point where he is self-sufficient, where his family has their own financial independence, and so that he can stay there and have his own income from other ways, but continue to work in the church. And that'll be a way for the church to stand on its own and not be dependent upon outside leadership or outside funds. At the beginning of next year, his family will be opening up a dry goods store in their community. So he's making steps to get to that point of where he can support himself, but continue to work with the church that's there. Again, to make a public plea, it's on our calendar for February 2015 for us to do a medical team there in Basira. So definitely, medical professionals, I really want to make this plea to you that we need you. But not just medical professionals. If you're a doctor, if you're a dentist, if you're a pharmacist, if you're a nurse, whatever you can do, we need you. But we also need cooks. We need evangelists. We need children's teachers. We need people like Charles Smith that can just do everything or whatever you tell him to do. But, you know, we wouldn't turn away anybody from another congregation that wanted to go with us. But the truth is we've got all the talent and all the ability right here that we need to do a really awesome campaign. So our goal is by putting it out there that far in advance to let you know February 2015 we're going. Our hope is that lots of folks will go ahead and put that on their calendar and make plans to be a part of that campaign. Just a few photos quickly about our trip that we made in October to Panama. We went to David, Panama, and worked with the church in the Los Andes Church of Christ. And again, we're trying to learn. We're trying to find the most effective way to do mission work. We don't actually financially support that church. The reason that it's so attractive to us, this is our second year working with them, is because they don't receive support from the outside. They don't have any overseeing congregation in another country that tells them what to do or how to do what they're doing. They stand on their own 2 feet. So while we've been able to work with them, we've been able to help them a little bit. But I think they've helped us more than anything. We've been able to learn from them as we want to take what we've seen there and be able to go elsewhere and plant churches that can stand on their own. So we went there for a week and worked with children and taught classes for the leaders in that church and in that area. We did some evangelism, did some building. As a result, there was one baptism throughout the week. The young man on the left there, his name was Victor, and he was baptized into Christ. On the right, you see a photo of one of the children's classes that went on during the day. Again, we're talking about, I'm embarrassing Tyler, I see him laughing already, but we're talking about less works, but really getting Graymere members involved with Graymere missions. I think the future is bright because we can see success in that area already. There were 26 folks that went on, 26 Graymere members who went on this campaign, but 12 of them were making their first mission trip with Graymere. Most of those, it was their first mission trip ever with anyone, but that's pretty awesome to realize that nearly half of our team, it was their first trip. That tells me that we're having success in getting more folks involved. Tyler and Garrett Lyon, I pretty much adopted them that week. I just called them my sons that week and tried to do the best I could to take care of them, and they made it back. We even did a little bit of building. You see some of the guys there working to put in a bathroom in the church building. Something that's interesting about the talents that we have here at Graymere. I've learned that you can just close your eyes and imagine anything that you want to build. If you can get Matt Bowling and Josh Bishop and John Compton in a room together, they'll come out with a plan to build it by themselves because they can pretty much build anything. So it's really awesome to be a part of a congregation this size where we have so many abilities that we can pull from and resources so that we can really make a difference in the works that we're trying to do. You know, so when we think about our missions program, I think it's interesting to look back at all the things that have been going on the last couple of years, to look back at the different things that have gone on this year in our missions program, that helps me to look forward and know that the future is bright for our missions program here. I think, I think you can do that with every program that's going on at Graymere and see that we're on the right track and that the future is bright. But just for a few minutes this evening, I'd like for us to think a little bit more big picture about the church in general. So often it's easy to get negative about the church. Just a week or so ago, I read an article that was going around on the internet about why are the churches of Christ shrinking? And I've seen a lot of other folks responding to that and writing different things. So I guess that article has gained a lot of traction here recently. And maybe a lot of churches of Christ are shrinking, but again, I don't like to dwell on the negative things. I think if we're doing things in the right way and doing what we're supposed to be doing, then I think that the future is bright. But I think it's good to take an opportunity very briefly tonight just to look back at a few things to help us to see clearly that the future of the church is bright. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians, most of these points will come from there. Let's notice in the first place that the future of the church is bright because of the source that planned the church. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Before the foundation of the world, God planned for his church. He designed it. He made all the plans for it. It wasn't an afterthought, but he planned it before the foundation of the world. You know, even think about what the Lord said to Peter in Matthew 16:18, "Tell you thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, God put some thought into this. It wasn't something that just came about. It wasn't something that is dependent upon man's wisdom. It wasn't something that was just haphazardly put together. Before the foundation of the world, God planned for the church. He planned for its future. He planned for its success, for its growth. Now it's up to us to follow the plans that he's given to us. When we think about the local congregation, what's in store for the future of the Graymere congregation? Well, if we'll follow his plans, if we'll keep putting in leaders that are qualified and that are going to rely on his word and make good decisions, and if we'll keep working and following them and doing the right things, then the future of the church is bright because of the source that planned it, because God planned the church before the foundation of the world. Notice also a couple of verses down in verse 7, the future of the church is bright because of the sacrifice that purchased it. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Christ purchased the church with his own blood. We're not sitting around waiting for something else. It's been purchased. That's been done. We don't have to worry about sitting around and waiting for something else to occur. Christ purchased it. Now it's time for us to get to work. You know, the church isn't it's not like a building out in the world where you keep making payments. Christ made a once and for all payment to save us from our sins. It's so interesting to see how that theme runs all throughout the Bible. You start in the Old Testament. You're looking forward to a price has to be paid. Genesis 3:15, the Messiah is going to come. He's going to deal a death blow to the head of Satan. Genesis 12:1-3, the Messiah is going to come through the seed of Abraham, and through him all families of the world are going to be blessed. Exodus through Malachi, we're still looking, that price has got to be paid. Matthew 1:21, Jesus is born, and he's going to save his people from their sins. John 1:29, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and he's going to take away the sin of the world. Acts 20:28, he purchased the church with his own blood. It's just amazing to think about that consistent theme running all throughout the Bible, that it's been purchased. The future of the church looks bright because of the sacrifice that purchased it. The future of the church looks bright because of the Spirit that prepared it. If a divine source planned it, if a divine sacrifice purchased it, then that demands that some divine guidance be given to those who are going to open up the doors of the kingdom. The Lord promised this to his apostles in John 16:13, when he said, "And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak of himself, but he's going to speak the things which he hears and show you things that are to come." Acts chapter 1, he assures again the apostles the Holy Spirit's coming. Acts chapter 2, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They stand up and preach and convert, open the doors to the kingdom. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures for us so that we can follow them today. 2 Peter 1:3, they contain all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything we need in order to continue on, in order to have success, is here. The future of the church looks bright because of the Spirit that prepared it. The future of the church looks bright because of the sword that protects it. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about that, putting on the whole armor of God, and he goes through all the different things. When he gets to the climactic point in Ephesians 6, 17, he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I think this might be the most important part, at least in my mind, as I do so many mission trips, and I see this percentage of Christians growing today that don't know the Word of God. We get on mission trips, and when I start looking for folks who will go out in evangelism, this group is growing that say, well, hey, I want to do missions, but I can't actually teach anybody. And I think that's kind of sad. I heard a preacher while we were in Panama in October, he was talking about this point in evangelism. He said, you know, at the bare minimum, every Christian ought to be able to teach somebody else what you obeyed. If you can't teach somebody else what you obeyed, then what did you obey? Was it tradition? Or was it your parents? Did you even obey anything? The Word of God, it's seed, it produces, so we've got to know it. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We've got to know the Word in order to continue producing, in order for the church to continue to grow. I believe that the future of the church looks bright because of the sword, the seed that protects us and continues producing. But finally, notice in Ephesians 5:25-27, that I believe that the future of the church looks bright because of the salvation that were promised. So often we look at these verses when we're talking about marriage, because husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But also in there it talks about he's going to come back, and he's going to come back for his church, and he's going to present it to the Lord, or he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle, without blemish. He's coming back for his church because the saved ones are in the church. Acts 2:47, and daily the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. The saved ones are in the church. And that's the ones that the Lord's coming back for. He said he's going, in John 14:3, he said he's going to prepare a place for us. And he's going to come again for his church to take us to the place that he's prepared for us. So I believe that the future of the church is bright because of the salvation that's promised to us. But sometimes I think we just get distracted from all of that. Sometimes just the negative things are noteworthy and newsworthy. So I think it's important for us to take a little bit of time this evening and to look back at the good things that assure us that the future of the church is bright if we'll do our part and do what's right. Are you a member of the Lord's church? He's coming back for his church to save it. Are you a member of the Lord's church? The opportunity is available this evening. If you'd like to be in the church, if you'd like to be in Christ, you can get there by obeying the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess that I believe that Jesus is God's Son, you can get into Christ, into the church, by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's just hurting. Someone here tonight who needs an arm wrapped around you and need a family to pray with you. Whatever the need is, we're here for you, and we'd like to invite you to respond. Come right now as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.